This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Warning, warning, this is an official warning. The health service recommends you turn off your radio now. This program is not good for you. It will fry your brain.
It will cause lasting insanity.
Oh God!
Bleeding from all orifices. You have been warned.
Like razor blades in my eyes.
We warned you.
Ugh.
Oh my God.
My eyes! Oh, my ears! We warned you. We warned you. Oh God, it's too late.
Meow.
Oh God, someone poke my eardrums out now. I can't handle it any longer.
Welcome.
What? Yes, Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9 with Sonia and Claytox tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening, yes. Thanks to Chatterbox again, of course, keeping the airwaves lively and bubbly and full of zing.
Or should we call them Chatterbox, since they call it a Sci-Fi and Scream.
Scream, yeah.
Just get revenge.
A pair of bucks, indeed. And yes, so you can always catch their podcasts online on joy.org.au. And of course, we had something called Something Rainbow Song. Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Judy Garland, lady.
I do love that song. I know I shouldn't, but I do.
You can't help it. It's beautiful.
It is.
And the reason we're doing that tonight is because it's all about what's happening online, TV shows. Though they're not really television these days. They're usually your phone or your laptop or your notebook or something that you're engaging with. Some of these series we end up binging almost to death on, binge watching, of course. And we've been doing a lot of that with various newer forms of television watching and online and streaming. And, of course, there's one going to be called Emerald City. So we're looking at 2016. Well, Clayton is doing a lot of that.
I'm sure you're going to help me.
I'm sure I'll put my opinions in there, as always.
Uh-huh. You're so shy with your opinions.
I know, aren't I? I'm not very forward.
No.
I'm very shy, very demure.
But
so
I'm already
Emerald City.
Sorry.
We don't know much about it.
We don't know much, but I'm excited anyway, because it's going to be a bit of a darker look at the whole storyline.
Well, it is actually written. They're saying it's written by L. Frank Baum, but I don't know how he did that. I guess it's based on his book series.
Based on his book series, which is
the
much
Land
more
of
extensive than what we've seen on screen to date.
Yeah.
I think there's about 8 books in the series, maybe even more. But it seems nothing is safe from gritty reboots these days. The Wizard of Oz is reinterpreting with Dorothy and her police dog transported to the war-torn Land of Oz.
So it was a police dog, Toto.
Not in the books, no,
that.
I don't think so.
Oh.
But yeah,
okay.
I think this is a bit of this is the reinvention. So.
Right, and it is a TV studio that's doing this. This is NBC, so it will be still in that format. So that's interesting. I wonder if they'll do it have it streamed as well. Who knows?
Well, I think, I would guess that's probably what will end up happening in Australia anyway. So
for everything, yes.
Yeah, but a lot of shows these days just go straight to the streaming networks. So,
Now
you're excited about the director on that one, though.
I am. Tarsem Singh, a wonderful director. He hails originally from India, and he's done some beautiful stuff, including way back in the 90s, The Cell. We can never forget that.
With Jennifer Lopez.
J-Lo.
Yes.
She was amazing in that, and it's just such a superb, beautiful production.
It's visually stunning.
And The Fall, which came out in the 2000s, and are basically modern fairy tales. So being that it is a kind of fairy tale, I guess, yeah, he's going to be a very interesting person to watch doing that. So, look, it's been on and off for the last couple of years since 2014. It was supposed to be filmed, but that was cancelled. Production was halted. It started again on 2015, but we don't know yet if anything's actually even in the production side.
It's pretty early on in the stages of production. So we'll definitely, and we'll keep you updated when we hear stuff maybe on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Yep, you can hear X-Files in the background
you
too, can't we?
Is it a slightly different version of X-Files as well? Or
it is. It's the synthesthesia.
Oh, I'm going to have a seizure right now.
No, it's quite
cute actually.
Yeah,
I like it.
It's cute. It's very, I don't know what you call it. It's in a major key, apparently. But lots of different TV shows and online creations coming up in genre. Also, we're going to be talking shortly to a lovely chap, Ron Brown, and he's going to be talking about something called Ozflix. He's the CEO of Ozflix. It's basically, it's already been coined the Netflix of Australia. So it's on its way. They're having their big launch very soon. They've been talking about it for a while, and it has been out there online in the news and so on. But at last, it's going to be something very Australian. Basically, every Aussie film they possibly can will be loaded onto the site, and something you'll be able to watch in your own convenience in the future.
And apparently it's going to be a launching pad for a lot of directors in Australia who don't have access to other ways of getting the material out there. So that's going to be fantastic
too.
So
they're looking at newer stuff too, not just archival, but new productions, and probably like Netflix have been doing, and HBO and MTV, you know, putting their name to productions in the making.
Yeah.
So it'll have review segments in it, all sorts of things. And in fact, I noticed that an ex-joyster will be having his own review show.
Huh.
Thomas Caldwell used to do the Casting Couch on Saturdays. So he's involved. So it's awesome.
Joy takes you a long ways.
It does. I mean, I think it took him to the fifth floor, actually.
Oh, okay.
Wherever Myth was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think it's about the fifth floor of the same building we're in, yeah.
That's right, here in Melbourne town. So look, if you have got a favourite Aussie film, or there's a TV show, or should I say an online show, that you're excited about watching for 2016, let us know. How can they get in touch with us there, Clayton?
They can go to onair@joy.org.au, or I haven't got the number in front of me, so can you tell us the number, Sonia?
Really? Yeah. You don't know it.
I know it off the top of my head.
0427-JOY949, or as you said, onair@joy.org.au. There's a lot of lovely shows coming up. We could have done a best of 2016, but everyone's been doing that.
Yeah, so
let's do the best of 20. Sorry, did I say 2016?
Yeah, you did. 2015. Yeah, you're already there. We're doing a best of 2016 in advance.
Yeah, so, yeah. We're just guessing, really.
Yeah, this is going to be great.
This sounds great, but you know, like we see with the X-Files, that's one of the most anticipated, and the trailers are out. What do you think of the trailer? I was a little bit lukewarm about the trailer.
It doesn't,
to be honest. The official trailer.
One thing is, it's only 6 episodes, so I'm thinking it's going to be, each one is going to be part of a bigger story, which I always thought the strength
will
of the X-Files.
Will aliens be in it?
I think it's just going to be all aliens. And to be honest, in the earlier X-Files, I actually liked the stories that weren't aliens. So I liked the monsters and those sorts of things.
Yeah, you didn't like the last film, did you?
I did not.
I don't like
all.
This, is Clayton.
No, I'm hoping this series is much better than the last movie. So.
Well, look, it's been in development for a bit, and the excitement, I think, hit, was it at Comic-Con in 2014, when someone called, what's her name, and thingy, what's it, Gillian and the other guy, David, they just popped up at a convention at Comic-Con San Diego, and that was it. Paparazzi went wild, the fans went absolutely crazy, and yes, it was all uphill and battling on, because we've got the originals are going to be in there, including
and the
Mitch Pileggi.
Sorry, I was just going to say, and also the original showrunner, so Chris Carter will be back running the show, so
cool. That's
good hope.
That is good hope, isn't it?
It's not a new hope, no.
Yeah, so look, it's the same old FBI, strange and the unexplained. And what I love about it is Gillian Anderson has matured with age.
She has.
Really is stunning, you know.
Oh, look, she's beautiful, but she's not hiding her age much.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah, she's still looking fabulous for, but not in the commercial sticky tape, staple gun way.
I think that's really clever of the creators to do that, to show a woman as her age, you know, and it's what it is. She's a working woman.
Absolutely.
She's a working woman. It can't be easy being an FBI agent wearing those suits and keeping them perfectly dry cleaned all the time.
Exactly.
Running around in fields of strange bees and alien, you know, crop circles and things, and that crazy guy.
People squeezing through
Mulder.
Places.
Mulder.
I mean, Mulder and Scully.
How can you trust a man's name with who's called Mulder? I mean, seriously.
Oh, he looks good in a swimsuit anyway, so.
Yes. Have you ever heard the song David Duchovny? That's a song
I haven't.
David Duchovny. Look it up, people.
I will.
Next time you're online doing whatever you're doing.
I will check that
look
out.
Look it up. Yes, it's quite a cute little song. Series was so influential. I think the two big series of the 90s for me that were influential in genre would be X-Files, but before that, of course, and another series that is coming, but I believe it's now not till 2017, and that is, of course, Twin Peaks.
Yes.
But that's been held back, is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, very much the original team getting into
it. Oh, the original cast, everything. You know?
So it was such an influential series. And
oh, God, yeah.
It just will be interesting to see, because it's a continuation. It's not a remake or anything. So I don't know who they're going to kill this time, but, you know, it's...
Get your plastic sheeting out, people. Mm-hmm. Get ready.
Yes. Now, this will be interesting because I don't like David Lynch films. So
really?
I know I should
How
be shot, hung, drawn and quartered, but...
Wrapped in plastic.
Yeah.
And, as it may be.
But I will be definitely checking out Twin Peaks.
Oh, you've got to check it out. Mm-hmm. I mean... just incredible. And you might hear in the background here, we've got a bit of Philip Glass going back to the 80s, 1989 actually, and that's with an amazing series in the early 80s, I should say 87 I think it is. I'm probably getting this wrong, but it's The Thin Blue Line by Errol Morris. Wonderful documentary about mistaken identity, and in this case a gentleman who's charged with a double homicide, and apparently not him who's done it. And it's just on that cusp when DNA was starting to be used as a way of showing evidence. And the reason I'm playing that is because I think one of the biggest and most exciting TV shows, it's not the normal genre we chat about, but it is called Making a Murderer.
Mm.
Making a Murderer.
Well, I think it certainly fits into just into this category.
It's incredible. Mm. It just fits in because it's real life and it's so well put together. The whole packaging, it's so clever. It's smart. It's yeah, it's a dream come true documentary. Mm. Startling, compelling, addictive, and frustrating all at once. Perfect television.
Well, I think Skyhooks pointed out that the horror movie was there on our television, the TV news. We didn't need the horror films when we had TV news.
And who?
Skyhooks. It's a band.
They were the they were the Split Ends copycats, weren't they? Little, trying to be like Split Ends.
No.
Australians' answer to... poor answer, I should say.
Were Split Ends glam rock, though? Because Skyhooks were glam rock, so...
Our Split-Ins were pre-glam rock.
Oh, okay.
They pretty much invented it, I think. David Bowie saw a video of theirs and decided to put glitter on because of Split-Ins.
Oh, very nice.
Did you know that?
No, I did not. But given the choice between Skyhooks and Split-Ins, I will go Split-Ins every single time.
Only because I'm glaring at you.
No, because I love Split-Ins.
Except it's not good for your follicles.
No, not at all.
All right, this is Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. We'll be speaking to Ron very soon on the line and talking about something exciting. It's Ozflex, and it's coming to you this year. Yes, in Australia. Where else? This is Joy.
Hi, this is Gail Simone, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Essie Davis from the Babadook, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Yes, Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy tonight, Tuesday the 5th of January 2016, heading into a fantastic and very exciting new year as far as it goes with things that are happening online, not just TV shows and that sort of wonderful stuff, but also we have on the line to talk about Netflix. No, not Netflix. Oops, Ozflex. It happens too easily. Ozflex Australia. We've got Ron Brown. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sonia. How are you going?
Oh, good. Apart from me saying Netflix, I mean.
Well, that's a funny thing because the first article, the first consumer press article that came out about Ausflix was headed, "Watch out, Netflix, here comes Ausflix."
Ooh,
and I immediately called up. I immediately called up the journalist at the Age, Carl Quinn, and I said, "Actually, we're not competing with Netflix at all. It's really inaccurate." And he said, "Yeah, we're getting a lot of negative feedback about that." And I said, "Okay, but no, look, the Australian Movie Channel Ausflix is going to be only similar to Netflix in that it'll be streaming, so you'll be able to look at it online, and you'll be able to, you know, look at it on things like tablets and smartphones and gaming consoles and Apple TV and Chromecast and all that sort of stuff. But we'll be quite different because we're going to be having a curated, I suppose, service. In other words, first of all, it's a pay-per-view. People will be able to pick and choose what they want to watch. They don't have to sort of pay a monthly fee whether they like it or not. They're just going to pay for the films that they actually watch. But equally importantly, a lot of the people that are participating in the channel, and we've got a really great lineup of film practitioners, film critics, actors, directors, and others who are also going to come on the channel and host programs and participate. And they're all going to be kind of, you know, doing, I guess, things like, you know, their favourite five Australian films or their sort of, you know, backgrounds to films that they've made or that they've acted in and things like that. So there'll be lots of rich content, lots of extra content. It's not just click on the movie and pay your rental fee and watch the movie. There's lots of free stuff, and there'll be lots of stuff that really enriches the whole experience around Australian movies.
No, this is why it's very exciting. I think Ausflix looks like something that it's definitely a need, a requirement now of Australian films and all the content that goes with it. Like you said, you get a fuller story if you have interviews. I believe you'll have interviews of some of the directors and people who are involved in the films, going back, you know, some fairly older generation of films, but also much more recent ones. So that's very good, very exciting.
When we were researching, last year we carried an extensive research campaign to try to find out what people really wanted in order to be able to watch Australian films again. We know that they've disappeared from cinema screens by and large, except for the new releases, the ones that are out for, you know, a few weeks at a time when they're first released. But there's hardly any Aussie movies on TV. There's almost no Aussie movies on DVD in videos, you know, stores and retailers and things now. So it really is hard for people to connect with Aussie films, particularly a film that they may have seen some years ago and they remember fondly and want to get access to again, and they're just not out there. So the research we carried out revealed one really interesting fact, which is that people have very strong favourites, but they kind of want the whole experience. They want an enriched experience. They don't just necessarily want to watch the film. They want to watch sort of behind the scenes and making ofs and hear interviews with the actors and the directors, and they want to find out more about the process. And because I guess these are Australian stories, I think we connect much more strongly with them probably than a lot of the foreign films that come here. And as a result, we've tried to create content that fits that need, that makes it possible for people to enjoy the whole experience.
Well, an example, of course, in 2015 was The Dressmaker. That did very well for local box office. And, of course, a year before that, we saw, very rarely we do see this, but a horror genre film made here in Australia by Jennifer Kent also do incredibly well here, but also, you know, overseas it did very well with The Babadook. So I think there's a definite desire for Australians to see themselves and to find out the history. Some of those titles, like, we all know about Picnic at Hanging Rock, but I've met people who know of the film, but they've never had an opportunity to actually watch the film.
Well, that's right. It's quite difficult. Well,
they've studied it at university, but they've not actually sat down and watched it.
Absolutely, and classic Australian films are just as hard to find as the little known ones. One of the things we've discovered is that, you know, we did a poll with people where we asked them to list how they'd like to access Australian films, and that's how we've arrived at our sort of pay-per-view streaming model. But the other thing that we've discovered that's very interesting is a lot of people are very fond of classic films and have absolutely no access. They've hunted high and low for films that, you know, I would have thought would have been readily available. They're just not out there anywhere.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to some trouble to find. Obviously, when we launch, we're going to have around about 400 films at launch, which is around about the, well, we're saying in the first half of the year of this year, so before obviously July. But what we know is that there's somewhere around 2,000 Australian movies in our database, and that database, we've built that up over time from all the different sources, from government funding bodies and libraries and film societies, the history of, you know, screenings of films over the years, independent film societies, independent filmmakers associations, government funding agencies, the National Film and Sound Archive in Canberra, who've got a lot of material stored, but it's not necessarily accessible because it's still on the old sort of film formats and not suitable for streaming at this stage. But we're going to get that stuff out, and we're going to polish it up and digitize it and make it available. And I think it'll probably take us realistically 2 to 3 years to get all the Aussie films that we've been able to find in our research actually online and available for people. But our goal is every Aussie movie ever on the service.
That's a forever commitment, isn't it?
It's a big promise, isn't it? But it's doable.
I think it's achievable.
We just have to kind of keep knocking on doors and chasing down people. Yeah. There's a lot of films, unfortunately, which are literally in people's cupboards and under their beds and in their mum's garages. Producers who made one or two independent films, they didn't necessarily make a lot of money at the box office at the time, and consequently, there was never a lot of money came back to the producer. And even though the films are worthy of an audience's attention, the producers haven't necessarily had a lot of money to pay for, you know, upgrading and updating and digitizing these films.
Yeah, digitizing them's a big issue, isn't it? What if somebody's granddad or grandma has got a film collecting dust in the cupboard, in the hallway cupboard? What can they do? They should definitely
let us know. We have a landing page at the moment, which is where people will be able to go when Ausflix is actually launched, and that's OZFLIX, Ausflix.tv. And if you go to that page, apart from seeing a little 5-minute video that's got lots of people in the film industry who are supporting the project, sort of talking about why it's great and why they're going to be involved, but beyond that, there's also a little registration email thing where if you've got something that you want to tell us or share with us, or if you want to get on our mailing list to get the first heads up about when we're starting out, I'll just let you guys in on a bit of a secret here. We're going to be doing some what American software designers call beta testing. So there's a actual website, but it'll be kind of password protected, and only people that have signed up for our newsletter will be allowed to go and test it out before it's sort of released to the general public. So if you register for that, you'll get a heads up about that. But when we launch the service, there's definitely going to be an ongoing need to be in touch with anybody who knows of any Aussie movie, any copies or prints of any Aussie movies, or if they're connected to anybody who ever made one or starred in one or knows where there might be, you know, any copies of Aussie films, by all means, let us know, because we are on the hunt for them.
Wow, it's incredible. There's something kind of similar in New Zealand called New Zealand On Screen, and that doesn't stream as such. It just has archives and everything, including commercials too and television stuff, original trailers for some of the films. It's quite an amazing resource, and, I can see that
Are you able to watch those films, or do you just find out that they exist?
No, some of them you can watch. They actually have the whole film. Okay. I think it's interesting to check out. I'll put it on the Facebook page, but it's New Zealand On Screen. And I was surprised when I came across it, because it's got the bios of the filmmakers, where they went, what they do now, and they have a family tree, which shows where some of the producers ended up going and all this sort of stuff. It's really
great.
You can spend forever. Lost in it all. And the BFI have got something similar too, haven't they?
Yeah, the British Film Institute, the BFI, have a thing called BFI Player, and if you go to their website, you can register for that,
it's
and they'll send you newsletters about the things that they're releasing and stuff. So it's starting to catch on all over the world now.
People are starting
to realise that the history of cinema in any particular country is a really valuable cultural heritage, and that it should be celebrated and made accessible.
And particularly if you're looking at a style of you know what a culture provides, and for a lot of, I think, people from overseas, they think it's all about the sandy, dusty outback, you know, crazy sort of isolated people in cars. And I mean, that is true to an extent, but there's lots of other stories and stuff that's made in urban environments. I mean, you've got things like He Died with Falafel in His Hand, you've got wonderful stuff from the 90s to, I can't think of them all. There's, you know.
One of the things that is interesting is that, you know, we've probably got more urban films than outback films, but
really?
We're kind of known for our outback films because
yes.
I think our outback films are the films that have succeeded internationally.
Being promoted,
you know,
as well,
you,
yeah.
Yeah, when you think about, I guess when you think about Crocodile Dundee, which was a bit of an outback yarn, and when you think about Priscilla is a classic example, actually. It's a really urban characters in an outback setting, which and the juxtaposition of those sort of creating a lot of humour and a lot of drama. But you know, I think when people start to see what is available on Ausflix, they'll start to realise that we have this incredibly rich history of cinema. It goes back over 100 years. We started making films in Australia the first featured drama film was in the world was made in Australia in 1906, The Story of the Kelly Gang. And even before that, in 1898, the Salvation Army set up a film unit in Melbourne and they made a film called The Soldiers of the Cross in 1900, which was the world's first feature-length documentary. So Australia was the world's first feature-length both drama and documentary films ever made. And then we kind of lost our way in the 30s and 40s when Hollywood turned up and started dominating our screens. And we kind of recovered a little bit of ground in the 70s when the sort of Australian film renaissance, as they call it, came along. And that's, as you said, all the things like Picnic at Hanging Rock and My Brilliant Career and all those sorts of films.
But Paddy, Tim, yeah.
Yeah, but if you look back now on the sort of 2,000-odd films, there's a massive amount of diversity. And as you said, there's diversity on every issue. There's diversity culturally, politically, gender diversity, obviously, too. Lots and lots of stories right across the board that people probably forgotten about, that we're hoping to kind of bring back into focus, bring back into people's kind of radar, you know.
Well, you have Razorback. That's a favourite.
Yes.
For our listeners.
we do.
Patrick,
the original Patrick?
Mm-hmm. Patrick, we've got both Patricks, actually. We've got the original Patrick and we've got the new Patrick, yeah.
Excellent. Wow.
Lots of titles. I mean, all the sort of favourite ones, you know, Muriel's and The Castle and Picnic at Hanging Rock and all the Mad Maxes and all that sort of stuff, they're all there. And even the most recent releases, one of the interesting things about a pay-per-view streaming service is that we get the film straight off the cinema screen. So if we were live now, today, we would have all the things that have just been on the cinema screen, including Oddball, Paper Planes, probably not The Dressmaker for a few more weeks, but certainly Last Cab to Darwin and Fury Road, Mad Max Fury Road and all those, they'd all be on our service right now because the window from cinema to pay-per-view streaming is the shortest in the first window. So Netflix, for example, is another really interesting point about Netflix, but Netflix is actually at the end of the food chain in terms of the windows, as they're called in the film distribution business. They have to wait 6, 12, even 18 months for some films after they've been released cinematically because of the way that they do things on a subscription model as opposed to a pay-per-view model. Mm. So we'll have films up to a year before Netflix will have them, Aussie films, obviously.
I guess their focus is probably more on serials and that sort of thing.
They're doing a lot of telly, and they're making their own TV series now, which is terrific too, because obviously I'm a filmmaker and I started this whole project because I wanted to sort of enhance the opportunities for Australian filmmakers to get their films out there. So for me, it's terrific that companies like Netflix and Amazon are actually creating new content as well as just streaming, you know, some of the back catalogue stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Keeps that industry running along and also gives a chance for writers to, and that's, you know, you don't hear about those people as much as a director, perhaps, and an actor, but the people that write and put together the films. So that, too, is part of, you know, interesting part of the culture, I think.
We will celebrate that.
Yep.
We will definitely celebrate that. And we've had meetings recently with Screen Australia, who are the government funding body that help people develop their scripts and get their films into production in Australia. And they said to us as recently as late November, when we had a recent meeting with them, they said, it's quite conceivable that in the near future, a lot of Australian movies will actually launch on Netflix, Ausflix. I'm sorry, first time you'll ever see them will be on Ausflix, that they won't be released in the cinemas. They'll just come straight out into the world on Ausflix. So I'm kind of not sure whether that's really going to happen at this stage. It would be nice to think that we could launch some Australian films to the world, but we'll see how, you know, the producers respond and how the industry responds to that. But Screen Australia predict that that's quite likely because of the changing landscape in cinema release and making it much harder for independent Australian films to get out there.
I think what may be something that will happen or is already happening overseas more perhaps is the festival. The film festival is probably the last stand, I suppose, for cinema going in some respects, because you get a chance to see the films in an actual cinema environment, meet the people face to face, hopefully, you know, touch the flesh, so to speak, and then of course the sales side of it, and then it goes online or maybe gets a smaller release. But independent films, especially, the film festival is really important, I think, for that. Do you see a time when even the film festival may not be in existence as we know it?
I don't think for a minute that streaming is going to stop people going to the cinema or to watching television. Mm. I think that's still going to happen. But I do think the equation is moving, or the balance, let's call it, is moving. Mm. I think more and more people will stream and fewer people will go to cinemas and watch traditional television. It's just so much easier to actually go to the website or to the streaming application on your device. Choose the exact film you want, start it when you want, pause it when you want, and go and, you know, make a cup of tea or have a meal and come back. And, you know, you're in full control of when you start it, when you stop it, how often you can watch it two or three times. The way we're setting up Ausflix is you'll be able to rent these films and you'll have a week or two to watch them, so you can go back and watch it two or three times. We don't mind. There's no limitation. Once you've paid the rental fee, you can actually watch it over and over and you know, share it with other friends and housemates and family members and whatever. So I think those kinds of viewing habits are the things that are driving people to it. I think they're finding it a lot more convenient. There's a lot to be said for going to the cinema. I love going to the cinema myself and sitting there with an audience in the big screen and so on. But there's also lots and lots of people whose circumstances don't allow them to do that. And there's also, I guess, just the convenience of being able to sort of sit in front of a bigger screen, maybe at home, and you know, just be able to sort of kind of get an almost cinematic experience in your own living room. A lot of people these days have got pretty big screen tellies, so
you'll
be able to watch on there.
Well, Ron, it's going to be a great... it launches on Australia Day, is that right?
Well, on Australia Day, we're actually having a launch function in which we're going to announce the titles of all the films, the prices for rentals, and give people the particulars of exactly sort of when and where it's going to launch. But it won't actually be available on Australia Day. It'll be available a little bit further down the track. But we will have, as I said, we'll have that that sort of preview, if you like, that preview website that people will be able to access if they go to ausflix.tv and register their interest for the service. They'll get on the mailing list for that, and we'll be able to let them know and send them the password so they can go and have an early look, if you like.
Cool, a taste of it. Good.
A taste.
An Aussie taste, like shrimp on a Barbie or something like that. Look, Ron, it's been great talking to you. I wish you all the best with Ausflix.
Thank you very much.
I finally got that
right.
Thanks
so much.
All the best with that. And, it's very exciting, and I think it can only grow and grow. If you build it, they will come.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for speaking to us.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, Ausflix. It's happening. What do you think, Clayton?
Sounds really interesting. Yes, definitely. I will be checking it out, and I'm going to sign up for the mailing list to get some early access.
Get a taste of it. And also all the other extra things that they're doing. It's creating a whole new dimension where people can inhabit places that we want to stay in all the time.
Yeah, and we're changing the ways we access material, so it's a great thing, I think, for Australia film.
Yeah, exactly. This is Sci-Fi and Swy.
Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Or Sci-Fi and Scream Flicks on Joy. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
Cal Barnes. This is a surprise.
Cal Barnes is here.
Kyle, is that you?
That must be a sign, I tell you.
You shouldn't have brought me here.
You've been gone a long time. These things are everywhere. They're all around us. We know what this is.
We don't know anything.
It's like what happened to your poor mother.
This is Lolita Faggio, script coordinator for Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, and I'm here today with Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Thank you.
I would like to return your ultimate belt. I won it as a prize at the Star Trek convention, although I find their choice of prize highly illogical, as the average Trekker has no use for a medium-sized belt.
Oh, fat, sarcastic Star Trek fan. You must be a devil with the ladies.
Very well. I must hurry back to my store, where I dispense the insults rather than absorb them.
And now, Clay Talks on the Box. Only on Joy 94.9.
Thank you. Sweet Christmas.
Yeah.
Sweet Christmas indeed. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. We love the huffin' and the puffin'.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we? Luke Cage, a.k.a. Shaft, a.k.a. Mike Coulter, a.k.a. Richard Roundtree, a.k.a. Isaac Hayes, a.k.a. Clayton.
I don't think I really fit into the rest of them, but sure, why not?
Get your AKA.
Yeah.
Look, yeah, Claytox, what's happening with the streaming world television?
We met Luke Cage in Jessica Jones, and if you haven't seen Jessica Jones, go watch it right now. Or listen to us, finish listening to us, then go watch Jessica Jones, because it's amazing. So Luke Cage is a character in that. In some versions of the comic, it is his wife. They are married, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Mm.
So Netflix has also got a series coming with him, featuring him. And
just called Luke Cage.
Yes, called Luke Cage. They're not, you know, don't need to name anything else. He is given superpowers through a failed sabotaged experiment, actually. And he has invulnerable skin and is quite strong. So... And
quite strong.
Quite strong, yes.
Incredibly strong.
It is quite fun to watch his fight scenes where people are trying to punch him and they're not getting anywhere.
So, no, it's just like Hammer Time. It's just, you can't stop it.
Absolutely. But one of the most, you showed me this today, but one of the most interesting pieces of news that Alfrey, are we going with Alfrey? Alfrey Woodard.
Yes, I love her.
Is fantastic from Star Trek First Contact. That's where I first met her, but lots of other things too. Is going to be playing Maria yeah, Dillard, a local Harlem politician.
Mariah.
Yes, that makes more sense.
You know, like Mariah
Carey. Yes, I'm slightly not embarrassed, but
not quite. Yeah.
And cousin. So anyway, she's going to be playing a mobster from Black Girl Nerds, which is also where you showed me in the Marvel Universe. Black Maria. I'm having trouble now. Yes. Black Mariah is leader of the Rat Pack and a criminal gang leader. More black women as villains and crime bosses. Can we say hell yes to that? Not my words.
Mm. I say yes, please. Mm. Yes, please.
Yes,
yes, so, please.
So this is all building up to this Defenders TV series, which is an amalgamation of Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist and Daredevil. And they're all going to have their own series, and then after they've all had their own series, there's going to be a series with them all in it. So,
Defenders.
Yes. Which I'm looking forward to because, you know, but Jessica Jones is awesome, and I'm happy to see as much of her as possible.
Yeah. But what I found out was Luke Cage, also known as Power Man or Carl Lucas, was, as the comic superhero, of course, pretty much first one Luke Cage hero for hire, number one, June 72. Yes, very much influenced by Shaft, Harlem, by the Renaissance that was happening there in films and so on, and culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about a strong African-American, powerful...
Very
you know,
strong African-American man.
Hero, or anti-hero that's a hero. And, really interesting. Very interesting. Mm.
Definitely. And Iron Fist...
I'm looking forward to that. Iron Fist,
is it another one coming from that one. In the same series, which is a... martial art expert and crime fighter. There's not much on that information yet. I don't even think they've cast yet. So,
yeah, let's hope they cast someone of Asian background.
Definitely.
Because that's what the character is.
Yes. So.
And they have a relationship too, as far as working together, Iron Fist and Luke Cage.
Yeah.
They were put together at some point in the Marvelverse. So,
I think he has some sort of massive punch that is quite effective.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't want to cross him.
So, Daredevil has got its season 2, which should be, I think, it's released quite soon on Netflix. So, hopefully, we'll get to see another series of Jessica Jones. And then, if these other two go well, we might see more of that in the future as well. So.
There's no Jessica Jones for 2016, though.
Not at this stage, no. But it wouldn't be happening.
That's not happening.
Have to announce it.
It's not happening.
Hopefully in 2017. So.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. They just want us to forget about her and just move on. Get back to the boy's zone, I think.
Maybe. I'm not going to forget about Jessica ever, though. So
you'll forget about her.
And I will look... I'm even quite happy to watch some more Jessica and Luke Cage get it on. That was quite humorous.
Yeah, sweet Christmas.
Yes.
What else are you excited about? I'm excited about I'll say it, Philip Pullman, hopefully BBC One and Northern Lights can do something with his dark materials, including The Subtle Knife and Amber Spyglass. I love those books. Really would love to see something.
I made my mum read them as well.
You made her. My mum read them. They need to be made to do things.
They are. And sometimes. This is being made by the BBC, so I'm quite excited about that.
Yeah.
Not America's doing it. So the BBC do things quite well. The other sort of in a similar vein that I'm looking remake of a movie that fails from a book is Shadowhunters Mortal Instruments, which is Mortal Instruments City of Bones was the film that flopped quite badly.
Flopped. Mm-hmm. Not the greatest, but it had Phil Collins' daughter in it. She's got amazing eyebrows.
Yes. But the series, it's looking all right from what I've seen so far, which is not the series, but trailers and whatever else. And hopefully they'll maintain the queer content from that, because the wizard Magnus Bean and the shadow hunter Alec Lightwood are a couple in the books, so hopefully there'll be a couple in the TV series as well.
Outcast, that looks interesting too.
Yeah, definitely.
It does seem a little bit derivative, but it is coming from a comic done a few years back by Robert Kirkman, who did, of course, The Walking Dead.
Yes.
It does have the wonderful Patrick Fugit as Kyle Barnes, the main protagonist. It does look a little bit like Returning Home, and there are people with demonic possessions that look a little bit like zombies. It's got that small town sort of corruption, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, well,
it looks interesting, though.
I love the comic. The comic or graphic novel of The Walking Dead, and I was so horribly disappointed by the TV series because it went so far off source material that it wasn't even the same thing, and not enough people died in the TV series. And then, because they die constantly in the book, in the comics.
It's quite racist too, the TV series?
Okay.
It's had huge problems in the last season. I refused to watch it.
Okay.
Because pretty much all the main black characters, spoiler if you haven't seen it, do demise.
Well, that probably fits with the source material because everybody dies in the books. But
all the white people,
though? Plenty of white people as well, but yes, I don't know.
All of them?
Not all of them, no. There's no black
I'm
people
I'm talking
left.
About all
the black people. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to try and get the comic. I did try this afternoon, but it wasn't available at our local comic book store.
Yep.
So I'll try that later. I'm very interested, though, in The Wolf Creek.
Yes, looking at Australian content. Wolf Creek made into a TV show.
Yeah.
How about that?
And it's being funded and whatever else by the Australian streaming service Stan. So they're going into their own sort of Netflix thing and making their own series. I don't know if they've made any to date, but this will be very interesting to see what they can do with the Wolf Creek material to make it engaging as an ongoing serial.
Will it be made in Australia too?
I believe so. I think it will be fully Australian.
Ash versus Evil Dead, of course, is a New Zealand product, basically. It's a New Zealand production.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll make some of it over there.
Absolutely. But, we're happy for that.
Yep.
Another one, Damien. They're taking The Omen and making it a TV series.
Why?
Well.
Why touch my Damien? He's my favourite little brother.
The Omen is a fabulous series of films.
Yeah.
And
there's The Omen, came out in 1976, of course, with wonderful Gregory Peck and Lee Remick. She's just fabulous. And Billy Whitelaw, isn't she wonderful? There's Mrs. Baylock. None of those people are around anymore, sadly. I interviewed Gregory Peck's grandson.
Oh, awesome.
I touched him. Not inappropriately, but it happens to him a lot. Yes.
Can I just touch you because you're Gregory Peck? Not that you talk like that.
But he wasn't Gregory Peck.
Peck.
He was almost.
The word stumbled up, so I decided to stop.
When is this supposed to come out?
Again, with all of this stuff, there's a lot of... This is coming this year, but there's not a lot of detail as to when. And I'm fizzed. Just looking through the list. What haven't come?
Legends of Tomorrow. DC's a chance to do something big. I mean, Supergirl's done very well, and that's coming back in 2016 this year. But
The Flash has done well, and
but
The Arrow.
Boring. I'm sorry if I'm boring, but this looks a little bit interesting. It's also because it's got a great cast. We've got Brandon Routh, Mr. Once Upon a Time with Superman. And
he's downgraded a bit.
He's a fascinating fellow, though. And Wentworth Miller, of course. He's on our team.
He is.
And a great writer and a producer and director in his own right, not just a actor. But so we've got a good cast there. We'll see what happens.
And Australian's Dominic Purcell.
He's been in a lot of crap. But he's now, let's hope things look up for him.
And a lot of these characters are in this series, though, have appeared. In fact, I think almost all of them have appeared in either Arrow or The Flash. So
there's a lot of crossover for DC.
Yeah, so they don't like to keep their things separate, which I guess Marvel's
Gotham
doing on Netflix as well.
Failed, didn't it? Right. It's not coming back, I don't think, is it?
Not sure. I'll have to check that out.
Ooh. So that's through CW, and
I'll definitely be checking out Legends of Tomorrow.
Vandal Savage, an evil dictator blessed with immortality. He has achieved what no one in human history ever has. He has conquered the entire planet.
And you are?
Rip Hunter.
I'm from East London.
Oh, and the future.
I've been tasked with assembling an elite team to travel through time, to capture Savage before he grows into the monster he becomes. Of all the people who ever lived, I chose you eight. I certainly hope that you won't let me and the world down.
I can get behind that.
It's time to start growing.
So it's gonna get a little rough.
We've lived in the shadows long enough. Be a hero in the light.
Let's get this party started!
Sure, it's a good idea to leave these two unsupervised on a time machine?
I don't just burn, pal.
You, my love, almost got us killed.
Have you two considered couples counseling?
I know it's difficult for you to fathom, but in the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Course plotted for 1975.
All your worlds are about to change.
People actually wore this crap?
Fortunately, we now have larger problems than Savage. If only you'd have listened to me about the dangers of upsetting the timeline.
I've seen Men of Steel die and Dark Knights fall.
Your entire 21st century world will suffer.
Rip has already seen the future. He knows exactly what's in store for each of us.
If we have the power to change the world,
don't you think we have the power to change our own fate?
For better or for worse.
I like being part of a team, man.
Me too.
Let's do this.
Time for something different. Bit of music before we do go. Sorry, Clayton, I'm bumping in. What do you want to do?
No, I think let's do some adverts and then some music and then say goodbye.
Yeah, it's gone so quick tonight.
Time flies when you're having phone interviews.
Yeah. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Alina Huffman for Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, we do the Eagle Rock. That's the Wolf Creek soundtrack. I hope they get more Aussie themes and songs for the series. It will make it very iconic, I think.
And just one more comment on that. John Jarrod is he's back for playing the villain, so that's good that they're actually keeping the same person as well. So
Cool. Yeah. Interesting. Well, my favourites, of course, is Luke Cage seeing the return of that character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that. Of course, the X-Files, when that happens. And what else am I excited? What's on my list of I'm excited? Sonia's excited, I do.
And to go to the X-Files, I'm actually excited about Lauren Ambrose is going to be in a couple of episodes from 6 Feet Under and Torchwood Miracle Day. I really love her.
Mm. All right. We've had some messages too.
Oh, we have.
You've got a few seconds.
We do.
Mm.
My friend, my name Clay Talks comes from a friend of ours, and someone suggesting someone needs copyright for using it on Sci-Fi and Squeam. We don't have any money, so we won't be copyrighting.
Mr. Sparacino, who's that?
Maurizio Sparacino. I can't think of his actual last name. Yeah.
And we also had, hello, John. He's been listening since 10. That's good.
Yeah,
he's still there. Maybe.
Hopefully.
And he says, Klaatu Barada Nikto, and the same to you, my dear alien friend. That's good. So, yes, you can always message us in. You've got 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
0427 joy949 or onair at joy.org.au. And we will podcast this show later in the week. Well, you will.
I will.
I'm going to make you do it this
time. Oh, really? Because you've done the last two.
I know. I'm a bit lazy this week. Yeah, I feel really holiday mode now.
Okay. I can do it. I believe in myself.
Yes. And just like the red shoes of Dorothy, if you tap them together, you'll get home.
Click my heels together three times. I sparked a little and nothing happened.
Really? Yeah. Nothing happened? You need more glitter. Well, thank you for doing that. There's a rundown on some of the shows coming up online, streaming. Also, thanks to Ron Brown from, I'll get it right, Ozflix.
Ozflix, yes, it's not Netflix. That's a different company.
Ozflix. And we wish them all the best of luck. I'm sure it's going to be, great and very interesting time ahead for Australian film and Australian television. Let's hope we can archive and get all of those great, wonderful pictures together in one place and people have access. Those resources are important. So you can look back and say, hey, weren't you in Picnic at Hanging Creek with the wolf pack?
Yeah.
With the razorback in your bag?
On top of a bus.
Priscilla? Weren't you in Muriel's Castle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Mm. Mad Max. Yeah.
I've never really seen a full Mad Max film. So
really?
Once Ozfit's come, I will do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll have four films to watch.
I will.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Fury Road either, so.
You're missing out on a treat. Mm. Yeah. An Aussie treat. Thank you, Clay Talks.
No problem.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream, Joy 94.9. Coming up, we have got...
School of Pop.
I was going to say, what have we got?
Crew School Grit. Of Pop. Good night, everyone.
All right. Thank you and good night.
Joy. Joy. Joy.
94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on 94.9.
I am Terry Farrell.
And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
imagine you don't remember much. That'll change. The past is like a noose around our necks, wouldn't you say? It's a whole new world. The seal's been broken, the trumpet blown. You have so much to offer. Your father would have been proud. It's so good to see you again, Damien.
The devil has many names. Identified by his number. 666. Does that mean anything to you?
He's coming. The Beast.
Been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.